Well, it's good to be here this afternoon, excited about the meeting, what the Lord has in store for us these days. And I trust that you've been praying and seeking His will, seeking His face. I believe He wants to help us, don't you?
Amen.
And I'm expecting Him to. I know I need some help. And so you pray for us these days. All right, take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. And sure did appreciate that good singing. I believe there's going to be a few outlines put to that before too much longer. Hammer on. Amen. That preach right there. Amen. Thank the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, real familiar scripture to most of you. And I'm just going to give you a real elementary thought for the afternoon and try to get through real quick, give Brother Buster plenty of time. And I really had something else on my heart I wanted to preach. But the Lord kept nudging me back this direction, so I trust there's a reason for that. You may not need it right now, but maybe fold it up and put it in your pocket. You might need it for too much longer. Amen. Matthew chapter number 14. Begin reading verse number 22. Bible said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, I like that. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this privilege and wonderful honor to get to come this way this afternoon and gather together with your people. I'm excited, Lord, for the meeting and what you're going to do in our hearts and, Lord, in our midst. I pray for Brother Robert. I ask you, Lord, to use him. God, I pray that you'd give him discernment. Lord, I pray that you'd give him liberty and moderate. And I pray for these men that'll stand and preach. God, use them mightily, Lord, how we need it in this day and hour. Lord, encourage the people's hearts that have come and Lord, just do what only God can do in these services, in this meeting. I do want to ask you now, if you will, please touch me afresh, Lord. Give me liberty. I sure can't do this without you. And I pray that you'd help me, Lord, and I'll give you every bit of the glory for it. Lord, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And amen. Real familiar scripture this afternoon. Jesus has just fed the multitudes. And now he's telling his disciples to go down, get into the ship, and go to the other side while he sends the multitudes away. He gets the multitudes sent away, and then he goes apart to pray. But while he's there praying, the Bible said the wind became boisterous and the ship was being tossed. In the fourth watch of the night, he goes then and walks to them on the sea. They see him coming toward them, and they're fearful, thinking it's a spirit or a ghost, if you will. And they cry out for fear. And then the Lord answers and says, "Fear not, it is I, be not afraid." And then here's Peter. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." I'm interested tonight in this happening here in Matthew chapter number 14. I try to set the scene for us just a few moments. These men have made this trip so many times before. I mean, they are not novice fishermen. They're not novice sailors. They've lived on these waters. They've been across these waters so many times. And out of all the times that they have traveled across these waters, nothing's really ever happened. Nothing has happened to cause them to talk about what had happened. Nothing has happened to cause us to remember those trips. Here we are, probably the cream of the crop on a Monday afternoon gathered together for Jubilee. And most of us are in church all the time. Is that pretty accurate? Most of us are, if not all of us. And can we be honest just for a moment? We have service after service. And to be honest, not a whole lot happens. Is that fair? Now, if it's not that way where you are, I'm going to come go to church to you, all right? Because a lot of places I am, and it may be all me, I'm sorry. A lot of times nothing ever happens. At least not nothing big enough to cause me to never forget it. Amen. I have been in a few services that I'll never forget. Have you got any of them? I hope you got at least one or two of them. Maybe you got a few more, but they's a small handful. I don't think, if the Lord let my mind stay halfway good, I don't think I'll ever forget them. Here we are thousands of years later, 2,000 plus years later, and we're still talking about that one trip, that one night. We're still talking about it. As long as they lived, they never forgot it. I wonder how many times they kept referring back to that one trip. Now, what made that trip any different from all the other trips? Two things happened that trip. Two things happened that night. Number one, Jesus showed up in a miraculous way. Amen. That's enough to make it a memorable trip. Amen. But then there was another thing happened that night. One of their own stepped out by faith. Those two events causes us, even 2,000 years later, we're still talking about that one. Amen. I'm praying, Brother Robert, that maybe this Jubilee would be one that somebody would never forget. Would that be good? Amen. It's possible. Now, some of you don't remember yesterday too well. Don't ask me what I preached. I don't. Wouldn't it be good if this meeting, something happened in this meeting, that maybe not for everybody, there might be a couple that may talk about it for years. Can I share a couple of mine with you real quickly? I want to be real sensitive to the time. It was 1979, and it wasn't even a church house. It was an old cottage prayer meeting. It's on a Thursday evening, Brother Doug. I don't have a date. I really wish I had a date. Get a little jealous of you folks standing up and testifying and telling us the date. I can't. I wished I could. I don't even have a date when I announce my call to preach. I wished I had one for that, but I don't. Anyway, that evening on Thursday in 1979, I had a good mom and daddy. They never did take us to church, none. They regretted that later on. And where I grew up, there wasn't no bus ministries or van ministries. If there had been, I'd been a bus kid. I loved to go to church, just never had nobody take me. But they used to have cottage prayer meeting. They'd just meet in somebody's house and have church in somebody's house. It's on that Thursday evening, they was going to have a prayer meeting at my mamaw's house. I rode my bicycle up mamaw's. I remember laying it down in the yard, and I walked up on the porch. I went into the house. I didn't really know what all was going on. Something's going on at Mamaw's. I wanted to see what it was. And then walked the preacher. Nobody had to introduce him to me. I could tell he's a preacher. Looked like one. Amen. Carried no black leather King James Bible. Right behind him was his dear wife, and she's carrying an old worn-out guitar case. And a few other folk came in, and I just watched. His wife walked over to the corner of the living room. She set that guitar case down and flipped the latches, raised the lid, pulled out an old Gibson guitar, and Her and her husband stood beside the old wood stove. Wood stove set out about 4 feet from the wall. And it's probably about 89 degrees in there. And I remember them singing. I even remember the song they sang. Saying, I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Amen. I got through singing and she put the guitar up and the preacher got his Bible out right there in Mamaw's living room. And he stood in front of that old wood stove. He began to preach Christ. And the Holy Ghost found Robbinsville, North Carolina, a little 9-year-old boy lost without God. I don't know what all happened that night, but I can tell you this. There's something happened that night that I won't never forget it. If God will let me keep my mind, I'll never forget that night. Amen? Something big happened. Say, preacher, what happened? Jesus showed up in a miraculous way. And I stepped out. I did. I don't know if anybody else remembers it or not, but I won't never forget it. I got another one or two. I don't need to go much detail. There's one I won't never forget. They hadn't been home from Desert Storm long, and it was a Sunday night service. I used to have the date. God been dealing my heart for over a year. That Sunday night, they got me and my wife up to try to sing, and I got up, and I couldn't sing. I couldn't come up with no words. My little heart beating out of its chest, and I looked at a small crowd that night, and I told that crowd that night, I said, church, I don't know why, but God's wanting me to preach. I went to the church secretary. I said, did anybody write that down? Anybody make a note of that when that was? I'd like to have the date. She looked and looked, and she said, nobody wrote it down. And I was talking to the Lord about that, and he said, don't worry about it. I got them both wrote down. Amen. Amen. Probably nobody else remembers that one, but I do. I won't ever forget it. Why? Because God showed up. And I stepped out. Amen. I don't know what the Lord's wanting to do. Maybe there's somebody wrestling with something. Maybe there's somebody in this meeting. Maybe God's wanting you to step out. They might be somebody in a Jubilee meeting here not saved. That's possible, is it not? And maybe God the Holy Ghost would show up and maybe you would step out. And because of that, this might be one of them meetings. This might be one of them services you never, never forget. Now, for a lot of us, we probably will, but you won't. Maybe God's wanting you to do something for Him. Maybe you've been wrestling with it a while. I don't know what He's wanting to do. But if there happens to be the fact that the Lord shows up and somebody needs to step out, I want to show you a couple of things in this I think might help you, okay? Let's look at Peter for a few minutes, all right? He's a unique character, is he not? I really identify him a whole lot more, identify with him a whole lot more than I'd like to. Now, there's some things I would like to identify with him, but it seems like the things I identify with Peter, it's all them negative things. I wish I could identify with him standing up on Pentecost and preaching, but maybe every now and then, but it's usually stuff like we're fixing to read where I identify with him the most. I don't even think he thinks about it. Here comes the Lord walking on the water. They literally think it's a spirit. They cry out in fear, and the Lord speaks. Fear not, I be not afraid. There's no pause. It don't seem like it might have been, but Peter just speaks up real, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. Forgive me if I'm wrong, I almost see him with his chest stuck out, feeling pretty good about himself, looking around at them other fellas. Ain't nobody else wanting to step out. And I really believe with all my heart, he does not expect what the Lord's fixing to say. I just don't think he believes or expects what the Lord's going to say. He's probably thinking the Lord's going to say, Peter, sit down and hush. You know you can't do nothing like that. That's only for deity. That's just what I think he probably expects. But then, whoa, now, Jesus, he don't rebuke him. He don't say, Peter, you can't. He just simply says, come. What you going to do now?
He done stuck his neck out now. I mean, he done spoke up. What's he going to do? No, never mind. He's done put himself in a spot. So everybody now starts looking at Peter. What you going to do, boy? Well, now listen, the wind's still blowing and the waves are still rocking and he's holding on. He goes over to the edge of that boat. Now, in the old flannel graphs days, y'all remember that? Them times I got took to Sunday school, I remember the Sunday school teacher putting that little boat on the flannel graph. And it had Jesus walking on the water and a couple of disciples in that boat, and it's a little bitty boat. But I don't think it's a little bitty boat. He had to climb down out of the ship. Probably a pretty good sized vessel. And there possibly could be more than just the disciples on that boat. So he goes over to the edge. I mean, ain't nobody ever done this before. He certainly hadn't ever done it before. That thing's a rocking and the waves are splashing. I mean, what's he going to do? Throws a leg over. Maybe there's a rope ladder. I'm not real sure, but he got to come down out of that ship. Man, I want you to picture this with me. I know it's Peter, and I know God uses him. And I don't want to belittle that by no means, but you'll never convince me he wasn't scared. So if you ever need to step out, I want to help you now. You can rest assured there will be fear involved. There will be. That night I got saved, my heart beat down. I was scared to death. I don't even really know what all I was scared of. I was scared to death. And that night I announced my call to preach. I guarantee you this, I was scared to death. There have been other times I was scared to death. And any time, now maybe you wasn't. Maybe there was no fear when you stepped out. But for the most of us, and for Peter, I'm sure there had to be some fear involved. He crawls down out of that vessel, and he gets down there next to the water. He's still holding on. That boat's still a rocking, and the waves are still bashing. And he turns around, and I'm not sure how far the Lord is out there. But he's going to have to let go and take that step. And I cannot hear any encouragement coming from the brethren. I cannot hear. I'm listening. All I can hear is, Peter, what in the world are you doing? You know you can't do this. I mean, and he gets down there, and he's still a rocking. And he's fixing to have to let go and take that first step. That's deep water. You can't convince me there wasn't some fear involved. There had to be. There will be fear involved. But think on this with me. There must be faith involved. There must be. He can't walk on water. Surely he knows he can't walk on water. And surely the Lord's coming to him walking on water. That's God's son. There had to be for him to ever let go. I know the Lord rebukes him, says, oh, little faith. But he had faith. Well, bless the Lord, I'm glad it don't take big faith sometimes. Amen. If it's going to take some big faith, I'm probably going to be left at the house. I'm glad a little faith every now and then at least gets you out of the boat. Amen. There must be faith involved. Take that first step. Fear, faith. Let me give you this one. You probably already know it. If you're going to step out, there must be focus involved. You can't look at the waves. You can't look back at the brethren. You can't even look at yourself. I'm telling you, I know surely he was thinking, I can't do this. I know I was. Even getting saved, I was thinking, I can't do this. And guess what? When I stepped out to preach, I knew then I couldn't do it. And I have found it to be true. I can't live it. I can't preach it. But thank God, but He can. Amen. And you've got to get your eyes off of everybody else and everything going on. And you've got to get focused on Him. You look at Him and you think on Him, and if you got your focus on Him and you're thinking on Him, look out now. You're going to do something that you didn't think you'd ever be able to do. Amen. He got his focus on the Master. Watch him now. He took a step and let go. I believe he took, in order to walk, y'all help me now, I believe that's more than a step, don't you? He had to take a few steps. I'm not sure how many. I don't think it's one or two. I may be wrong. Maybe he probably took a few steps. And he was doing all right. Help me now, men. Don't we do okay as long as we keep our eyes on Him? Amen. We do okay. But just as soon, oh, help me now, Lord. Soon as I get my eyes off Him, that's when I mess up every time. That's when I start to go under every single. We've got to keep focused. There must be focus involved. There will be fear involved. There must be faith involved. There must be focus involved. And I got to tell you this. I wish I didn't have to, but there will be failure involved. Well, at least there has been for me. And there was for Peter. He was doing good, man. I don't know how many steps up there. He's walking on water. As soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, I don't know what happened there. There he goes. He's going under. And the brethren, I'm rough on the brethren sometimes. I don't mean to be, but I can hear some of them look. I knew he wouldn't be able to do it. Just leave him under there a while. That'll be good for him. Oh, Peter, the big, bold Peter started to go under. That was a lick on the pride, wasn't it? Oh, my. I think every now and then it's good for us to fail. My pride needs a lick every now and then. And I've had several. I don't know about y'all. I've preached 45 minutes on Moses building the ark. Some of y'all get that after a while. I preached another 45 minutes on Noah getting the commandments. Bless his heart. They will be. They will be failure involved. Don't you wish you could do it and never mess up? I stutter and I've made a fool of myself a few times. I think I'll just hammer on. Amen. I'd rather mess up and make a fool of myself for the Lord than I had any time for the devil. Amen? There will be failure involved. You get saved, come to Christ, you ain't going to live it. You can't live it without some failure involved. The next day you'll mess up. Amen? I'm telling you, there's going to be failure involved. As long as we're in this flesh, there will be. I don't want to burst your bubble. If you start out to preach, you're probably not going to be the best preacher in shoe leather. Some of them think they are, but you're probably not going to be. And you're going to mess up. I'm not talking about getting sin and ruining the ministry. That ain't what I'm talking about. They're going to be failure involved. They're going to be failure involved. Let me give you one more and I'm done. There will be fear involved. There must be faith involved. There must be focus involved. There will be failure involved, but there will be fellowship involved. Oh, my. Peter's out there walking on the water, doing good. He's got his eyes on the Lord. Maybe it's the wind, maybe it's the waves. I don't know, but he took his eyes off the master. Soon as he did, he starts to go under. Cried out, man, he ain't got no pride here. Lord, save me. Wonder how far he was from Jesus. When he cried out, Lord, save me, I guess we've got it in our minds, he's right there. But it didn't have to be right there for him to immediately. He could have been 20 more feet away, but still immediately, the Lord is there. Picks him up. Brother, you come up here and help me just a moment. Thank you. He's going to be the Lord, and I'll be Peter, okay? Is he a good example? I'm not either, brother. He cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus is there to catch him. All right. They're going to go back to the boat. All the others are still on board the ship watching. Okay? He's fixing to get to do something with the Lord that he would have never got to do had he not have stepped out. They're going back to the boat together. Now, if the truth is known, it may be something like this, amen. But they are going back together. Amen. They're going back to the boat together. Amen. And nobody else is getting to walk with the Lord like he's getting to walk with the Lord. Had he never stepped out, thank you, brother. If he never stepped out, he would have missed that fellowship. Oh, and I'm telling you, friend, if God wants you to move, if God wants you to step out, let me help you. Go ahead and step out. There's going to be some fellowship involved that you're going to miss if you don't. Amen. Two of the best things I ever did is when I got saved by the grace of God and I said, yes, Lord, I will. Amen. Ain't been a lot of failures and faults on my end, but I can't imagine missing the fellowship that I've got to walk with him since I took that first step. Amen. And talking about finish well, some of you need to start. Take that first step. Come ahead, preacher.